grasp the existential crisis that the empire is facing.
You said the Iranian delegation is ready to stay and continue. How come the Europeans and other parties went home for consultations? What does that mean exactly?
Well, first of all, the myth-making that we see on the internet, that the Europeans told the Iranians to go back and, you know, speak to their bosses and bring a good, that's all of that is nonsense. Or, for example, someone said that, you know, that the negotiating, the chief, he doesn't understand the magnitude of, you know, what's, again, this Orientalist mindset is if, like, we're children and we don't understand what, you know, what this is all about, and some lady in the United States, you know, she gets it, but our chief, you know, that sort of racism and, you know, hierarchy,
yeah,
that exists among liberals. Just, I mean, if Black Lives Matter and whatever's left of it is for their own country, it's not for the rest of the world. No, I mean, black, brown lives don't matter anywhere. That's why they strangle us. That's why they don't care. That's why the media won't say anything about the bombings of Syria or the strangulation of Gaza that takes place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or the strangulation of Syria. They pretend that the sanctions are about human rights, but they are intended to violate human rights, whether it's Syria or Cuba or Iran or wherever. It's monstrous, but, you know, we've grown accustomed to it. But yes, he will be back. He will be offering them a way out. But if they think that Iran is going to go back and then capitulate their sovereignty and their rights, they're very foolish.
As the seventh round of nuclear talks in Vienna have concluded, all the parties have gone home for the weekend for consultations and debriefing before they return next week to continue the talks. A former French diplomat, Gérard Arrault, commented on the nuclear talks, saying that even if the JCPOA was restored, no Western company would dare invest a cent in Iran. No Western bank would finance any deal in Iran with the threat of the return of U.S. sanctions in 2025. Once was enough, the Iranians know it. Indeed, he's right. And this is precisely why Iran is asking for real, substantive guarantees from the United States and its partners. Who can trust that the Americans won't violate the deal again? Iran has more leverage now than it did in 2015, and not just in the domain of nuclear energy, but in all other domains. And although sanctions are akin to siege warfare and hurt people, Iran has still managed to stay afloat and circumvent them in some ways, despite the maximum pressure campaign that has crippled Iran. Iran is looking elsewhere for its benefit, but isn't getting its hopes up, and has certainly learned from the past, choosing to look eastwards, forge closer relationships with its neighbors, and explore other avenues. Whether the talks in Vienna succeed is something no one can predict. One thing, however, is certain. Iran no longer has all its eggs in one basket. Coming to you straight from the nuclear talks in Vienna, thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
The Senate voted against a bipartisan resolution to block a $650 million weapons sales to Saudi Arabia. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written jointly by Sharon Zhang and Mike Ludwig, journalists. This article is published under the heading, Senate Rejects Sanders' Resolution to Block $650 Million Weapons Sales to Saudi Arabia. Stay tuned for more. The Senate voted against a bipartisan resolution to block a $650 million weapon sales to Saudi Arabia, rejecting a bid by Senator Bernie Sanders and progressive and Republican lawmakers to stop the sale. The resolution was voted down 67 to 30. Most Republicans voted against the resolution except for Senators Ron Paul and Mike Lee, who had teamed up with Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and others in the Democratic caucus to introduce the measure. 21 Democrats joined the Republicans in voting no. Advocates of the resolution say the weapon sales will help Saudi Arabia advance its brutal blockade of Yemen, which is at the center of one of the world's worst ongoing humanitarian crises as a result of the war by U.S.-backed, Saudi-led coalition. Although aid groups are attempting to assist the roughly 20.7 million Yemenis, nearly 80% of the country's population who urgently need humanitarian assistance, the Saudi aerial blockade of the Sana'a airport has been preventing aid from reaching citizens. Meanwhile, Yemen's economy is on the verge of collapse. Human rights groups and Yemeni-led advocacy organizations have condemned the weapon sale and recently sent a letter to Congress urging lawmakers to pass the resolution. Hassan Tayeb, the director of Middle East Policy for Friends Committee on National Legislation, told Truthout that approving the arms sales sends a message of impunity to Saudi Arabia and removes key leverage that the U.S. could use to end the war. In a joint statement released by the Congressional Progressive Caucus, Representative Ilhan Omar and Caucus Chair Representative Pramila Jayapal said the blockade has almost completely blocked medical supplies from entering the war-torn Yemen. The blockade has also amounted to a death sentence for Yemenis seeking care abroad, they said. The world's largest humanitarian crisis is escalating. Last month, Saudi Arabia tightened its blockade on Yemen, permitting just 3% of the fuel the country needs into Yemen's major port, the lawmakers wrote. Saudi warplanes enforce a blockade on Yemen's airspace, threatening to shoot down commercial and humanitarian flights. Ahead of the vote, the White House released a statement of administration policy, a more forceful version of a regular statement, saying the administration strongly opposes the resolution. This goes against promises Biden made during his presidential campaign when he vowed to treat Saudi Arabia as a pariah. In response to the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, the dissident killed by a team of Saudi agents in 2018. At the time, Biden said, "I would end the subsidies that we have and the sale of material to the Saudis who are going in, and they are murdering children and they are murdering innocent people, and so they have to be held accountable." In this statement, the White House claimed that the arms sales will only go toward defensive actions for Saudi Arabia. Therefore, it won't contradict Biden's previous pledge to help the war. Senator Chris Murphy, a longtime critic of Saudi Arabia's role in the war, also voted against blocking the sale, citing the same reasons as the White House. The arms sales divided the Democratic caucus, with a majority of Democrats lining up against Biden and voting for the resolution. Sanders said on the Senate floor before the vote, "The United States must do everything in our power to bring this brutal and horrific war to an end. Exporting more missiles to Saudi Arabia does nothing but further this conflict and pour more gasoline on an already raging fire." Why in the world would the United States of America reward such a regime which has caused such pain in Yemen with more weapons? Sanders asked. My friends, the answer is we should not, he added. Paul also condemned the sale before the vote, saying, we could stop this war if we really had the will to do it. All of America should be appalled at the humanitarian disaster caused by the Saudi blockade of Yemen. When the resolution was introduced, Paul said the sale, if allowed to advance, would send a message to Saudi Arabia that their reprehensible behavior should be rewarded. The United States of America has provided the Saudi-led coalition with billions of dollars in weapons, training, and military support, playing an instrumental role in the destruction of Yemen for nearly 7 years. Donald Trump, in particular, was determined to support Saudi Arabia, going so far to veto several bipartisan measures to stop weapon sales to the country during his tenure. In 2018, Sanders and allied Republicans led the Senate in passing a historic war powers resolution to end the U.S. role in the war, which was not authorized by Congress. The resolution died in the GOP-controlled House. The $650 million sales will go on despite the wishes of the American public, which largely disapproves of the sale. A Data for Progress poll found that 64% of likely voters oppose the sale, with opposition nearly even across political affiliations.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, power. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of power in the Islamic lifestyle. Now, first of all, when we talk about the power, or when we use the word power or the power, there are some meanings that basically arose in our minds. Number one, when we say power, someone might think about gaining a power or invading a place or showing the power as a country, or, you know, if you're in the society, you should show your power. No, we are not talking about this power at all. We're talking about the power in the sense of ability. Someone being able to perform something. Someone being able or having power of performing something. So in the Islamic lifestyle, where we have many obligations, in order to perform them, and also in order to advance, because in the previous topics, I think we talked about knowledge. In order to gain knowledge, a person should have the power of doing such an action. He should be in a state or in a position in order to perform such an act. So he should have the power of that. And this is very important, that the human beings should have the power of gaining knowledge. They should have the power of gaining the ilm, basically, in order to advance in their life. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of power in the sense of ability, that the person should be able to perform something. Therefore, we see that in Islamic lifestyle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran as well, that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah do not put a pressure on someone, or He does not make anything obligation on someone until he have the power of the ability of performing such an act. Therefore, we can see, like for example, when it is said in Islam that a girl becomes baligh, or she becomes adult as an Islamic calendar, like it means that Allah has created woman in a way that she is able to perform 5-time prayers. She is able to fast in the month of Ramadan. She is able to perform all the obligations and stop herself or forbid the evil. And on the other hand, when it is said that the boys becomes baligh at the age of 15 according to the lunar calendar, or maybe before that, if such signs of some signs of bulugh, like becoming baligh or adult, if it appears, it can appear like at 13 year, at the 14 year or 15 year. 15 is the last, we can say, like stage. After that, he is definitely baligh. So it means that this boy is able to perform the wajib obligations at this age. And before that, he is not able. His body is not ready. He is not ready yet. So this power, having power of performing the things, it is very important in the Islamic lifestyle. Why? Because we cannot just impose things on the people. We need to see whether are they able, or do they have the power of performing such things or not. And Islam really talks about this power. It gives an importance to this ability that is being made into the people. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and let us contemplate upon an aphorism from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Personality is to avoid doing a matter secretly if you feel embarrassed to do it openly.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at a first-of-its-kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit dubbed Let's Fly displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. Organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The Institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you will be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas, ho ho ho, come out in bubble from through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. Eight sand artists from around the world have created the spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. And the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
the first few days. She did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days has she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university officials spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you build, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDesk Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo, and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Artificial intelligence has found its way into several aspects of our lives.
Now, a French research team is working on a project to provide fishermen with intelligent trawls that could help them sort out fishes before they are brought to the boats.
The objective of the project is to try to provide a support tool for fishermen, because at the moment, when they put their fishing gear in the water, a trawl net is like a large net. It is towed behind the vessel for several hours without having knowledge of what enters the trawl net in real time. Namely, is it species that are targeted by the fishermen or not targeted?
The trawl head has a camera that can capture footage underwater, which is then analyzed by a microcomputer using artificial intelligence. If targeted fishes are detected, the trawl will switch to fishing mode. But when there are no targeted species, it will switch back to flight mode to avoid having an impact on the seabed. Another feature of this technology is to identify and classify pelagic species. For instance, horse mackerel can be displayed in blue on the screen, while the sardines are shown in pink. If you enjoy nighttime adventures, then this park in Paris is just for you. Decorated with colorful lighting, the venue gives you a real feeling of life-size sculptures depicting dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. In this exhibition dubbed Evolution on the Path of Lights, visitors can walk through tunnels formed by some of the sculptors. They are made of paper, steel, and lights. More than 100 sculptors light up like lanterns across the park. These include well-known favorites of kids, such as Triceratops and T-Rex. Some huge lanterns also represent insects and vertebrates that walked on the planet millions of years ago. The exhibition's director says the goal is to raise awareness and educate the public about biodiversity in the past and present.
In Thailand, monkeys climbing on the piles of fruits and vegetables in central Thailand. It is not due to a mess, though. It is actually an annual event called the Monkey Festival in Lopburi Province. The long-tailed monkeys, known as macaques, feast on 2 tons of fruits and vegetables in Lopburi. That is the capital city of the province with the same name. Locals say the event is a symbolic way to thank the cute animals for doing their part in drawing tourists to their town. This year's festival took place after a 2-year halt due to the pandemic.
Today is the 33rd time that we held this event. This year under the theme of Wheelchair Monkey Party, where we organizers will donate 100 wheelchairs to people in need. I would say the event is very successful. Many Thais and tourists are visiting.
Lopburi has been holding the annual festival for its monkey population for decades now. COVID restrictions meant last year's party was missing its usual crowd of spectators. However, this year the humans were back in force with more than 100 turning out to see the monkeys.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about drug addiction and drug addiction in the view of Islam. So please be with us.
Today, Sunday, is the 7th of Jamadil Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless our moment by listening to chapter Nisa, verse 29.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batili illa an takuna tijaratan 'an taradin minkum wa la taqtulu anfusakum innallaha kana bikum rahima.
O you who have believed, do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, but only in lawful business by mutual consent, and do not kill yourselves or one another. Indeed, Allah is to you ever merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Personal possession is respected while domination in others' properties is unlawful, except for correct bargaining, which are perfected on mutual consent. A definite society or an ummah has one unit of soul and a common fate. Any kind of domination which is not based on divine truth is forbidden. Some of its instances are usurpation, theft, borrowing from inheritance, gambling, defraud, falsification, and purchasing the means of mischief and sin. It is so because all of these instances are the examples of vanity. The life of a person is respectable, therefore suicide and murdering others is unlawful.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you, is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Addiction to modern tools. In discussion about addiction, let's look at the addiction to modern tools too. It is widespread that Islam is more of a preventive religion than it is a healing one. But when you think about it, Islam first came down on Quraysh, a nation who were far from having a healthy mentality and being immune to illness of the heart. From greed to polytheism, injustice to discrimination and addiction, they had a lot to be fixed. And Islam did just that. It healed them. It gradually and gently poked holes in all the wrong ways that they were leading their lives in society, and then replaced it all with a more fulfilling, healthier, purposeful and holistic mentality and vision of life that literally change their lives on all levels.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the positive effects of religious teachings on abandoning addiction to drugs, it must be indicated that once someone went to the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam and praised a Muslim, because that person was very much attentive to performing prayers, salat, or
fasting and so on, and I mean giving financial assistance to other people and so on. And then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam asked just a simple question. Is he a rational person? I mean, does he follow his intellect or not? The person who went to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said that no, I mean, he's very simplistic, he's very imbecilic. He acts based on his, I mean, just feelings and sentiments, not that, I mean, based on his, I mean, rational attitude or based on reasons and so on. Then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicated and remarked a very, very important and, in fact, shocking point. He remarked that, okay, that person's religious deeds wouldn't go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the value of, performing salat, prayer, or, keeping fasting, I mean, in the month of Ramadan and, I mean, on other occasions, and giving financial assistance to other people will all be reckoned and weighed and assessed based on the person's rationality and being irrational, not based on, a person's acting based on, his or her sentiments. So we find that in Islam, the faculty of rationality, that is, the intellect, is highly important.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now we'll look at the models of addiction in Islam on today's special. Within Islamic theology, a Muslim is both personally responsible to Allah and also part of the wider Muslim community. In addition to contributing to the life of the community, they derive their identity from it. In the debate between those who claim the primacy of the society and those who emphasize the primal significance of the individual, Islam takes the middle course. There is no society without the individual, nor can the individual survive without society. Community members' support is not only confined to their immediate family, but extends to the wider community. People are dependent on Allah, and the most beloved to Allah are those who are caring towards Allah's creation. Teachings like this have influenced the way Muslims organize their lives vis-a-vis each other and vis-a-vis Allah. The teachings in the narrative are strong and clear. No one should despair from Allah's mercy as long as they understand their faults and try to rectify them. خدمتك جوارحي واشتد على العزيمة جوارحي واشتد على العزيمة جوارحي قم فعلا خدمتك جوارحي. Tips for helping someone overcome drug addiction. Dear brother, dear sister, accept that you can't fix them or help them all by yourself. Substance use disorders are serious mental health issues. They require experience, clinical supervision, and guidance for a successful recovery. From the risks of detox to the complications of underlying triggers and the potential for relapse, the journey of addiction recovery is a sensitive path, and the things can go wrong. Don't make the mistake of thinking you can fix your loved one's addiction or be their only source of support. Their best chances for progress are with well-rounded support, including clinical care and network of peers who are also journeying in recovery. Mm-hmm.
Another reason, another proof is another verse from the Quran where Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't bring yourself into harm's way. It's haram for a person to bring themselves into harm's way. Now some people, they say, this is my body. I could do whatever I want with my body. Who said this is your body? Yes, it is your body. But who gave you that body? I'm just going to be in this body using this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a short period of time. And Allah will, just like He gave me this body, He will take away this body. It doesn't mean that I have the right to do whatever I want with my body. Some people, they say, I could do whatever I want. No. Who said that? You can't go and hurt yourself. You can't harm yourself, just like you can't harm other people. And there's also another principle, and this is derived from one of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, where he says, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Anything that might harm yourself or might harm other people, where it's considered real harm, that would be considered haram. That would be considered forbidden. Harming yourself or harming other people, it would be considered. And of course, there's no doubt that alcohol and drugs and gambling and all of these vices that are forbidden in the eyes of Islam, in the religion of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make something harmful just because He wants me to suffer. No, everything that's harmful, everything that's forbidden and it's haram, there's a reason behind it. And that is for humanity to live a complete, healthy lifestyle. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain things forbidden. And the first thing, the first reason why it's forbidden is because it destroys the power of the intellect. It destroys the ability to make sound decisions in life. And this is what they say. This is not something that Muslims talk about. Go and look at every expert. They'll tell you that drugs, they'll take away the ability for a person to make wise decisions in life. And look at those who continue doing drugs. You see that they end up ruining their lives. And they end up ruining their future. And they ruin their afterlife. And they ruin the lives of those around them. And they ruin the community around them. So this is why it's haram, because it takes away the sanity of the individual.
We look at the addiction in the view of Islam in the program of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Thank you very much for joining us till this time and till another chance to say salam. We leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand, seeing his children across many lands, suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is where he is at.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is